This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Punt Intended Podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy basketball podcast and a Sports Ethos production. As always, I'm your host, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me at MacAttack145 on Twitter, and also my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. So we are recording this on March 8th, and so we'll get right into it with some of our recent trends and topics that we've seen in the past week. So we saw LeBron James recently hit 40,000 points at 39 years of age, which is, it's just crazy to think how long he's been around. He's basically came in when I was honestly still too young to really understand the nuances of basketball. And I just was like, wow, dunks, that looks fun and cool. And he's still playing at such a high level. It's insane to see just the growth and his consistency over the years and how much his cyborg body has just not been affected by injuries. And so how this ties into the theme that I want to get into is how many players in the league are playing so effectively into their 30s and as they age. And yes, this is Dynasty. Normally it's more fun and interesting to talk about the young and up and coming players, who's going to be the faces of the league, who's going to be the faces of our fantasy teams. But I think it's also important to recognize sometimes the core building blocks of these contending teams aren't necessarily these youthful players that you've been hoarding and stashing for years, but sometimes it's just these veterans, just like they are on NBA teams. We have players like Al Horford, Chris Paul, Mike Conley, who, yes, they deal with their injuries here and there, but they're still putting up really successful fantasy seasons, and they're in their upper 30s as well. And I don't think we can just, you know, ignore these players. I have them ranked, you know, not crazy high, but within the top 200 for all three of these players, just because they are bringing solid value. And at the same time, they're not necessarily too hard to acquire either. I mean, all these players, upper 30s, and they're still going to play for a couple more years, it looks like it. Mike Conley just signed an extension for an additional 2 years. Al Horford in the offseason signed for 2 years. Chris Paul still has one more non-guaranteed year left on his contract, but by all indications, doesn't seem close to retiring. So I don't think we can just assume that as these players get older, that they just kind of fade away and will just poof in the dust. They tend to go out a little bit of a struggle, but they're still producing at a decently high level. And then talking about some younger players, younger relatively in their 30s, you have Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, who's actually 36, believe it or not, Kevin Durant, DeMar DeRozan, they're all having fantastic fantasy seasons as well. And these might be players that some teams may look to just trade away for the best pieces they can get. But you want to make sure you're being fair to yourself when you're trading away these players. And understand that they are still, I think, just very valuable for fantasy. And even in dynasty purposes. I don't want to get too much into, you know, a redraft where we're talking about 1 to 2 year horizons. But all those players I just named, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, DeMar DeRozan, they're probably going to be impactful players, I would expect, for at least 2 to 3 seasons. And that's high impactful players. You know, these could all be players that play at easily in the top 50 the next 3 years for fantasy purposes. And 3 years, top 50 performances, I don't think we can just ignore that and say, let's just get whatever best value I can because they're old and aging and I don't want them on my team anymore. So I think as we see the volume of these players, maybe we don't discount age as much as we would previously. So some players that are getting into their mid-30s, such as Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, CJ McCollum, can we see them stay near their levels with just some, obviously some minor fall-offs as they age, but no major skill declines? And yes, some of these players will have some injury issues. You know, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Paul George, they all miss games here and there. That is true. At the same time, we see a lot of players miss games nowadays. I don't think this is as big a factor with the load management as it would be in the past. And so I don't think we can discount their performances as much. And yes, there are going to be some injury issue players like Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, or even Kristaps Porzingis, who's not in his 30s yet, but approaching there, who there are reasons to discount those players, right? I can understand if you're concerned about how Porzingis will age, how Anthony Davis will age as he gets more into his 30s, Joel Embiid and his recent knee surgeries. But again, I'm willing, at least for myself, to take on that risk sometimes and just say, hey, they're good players, probably going to play pretty well for the next couple years. And at least for me, sometimes I'd rather be okay with that top 50 value for the next 2 to 3 years versus let me take some long shot odds with, you know, some first round picks. You know, if I'm someone who rostered Kristaps Porzingis in a dynasty league and it looked like I wasn't going to compete and I was looking then to turn to, we'll call it load management, but looking forward to the next season. And I had some offers for Kristaps Porzingis, but there were players who I thought were more in that, I didn't even think they would get to a top 50 necessarily anytime soon, or had that high of a chance at a top 50 season. And I passed on these offers just because I felt like it wasn't fair value. I think Porzingis is going to be someone who will play well for the next couple of years. And I would think for any of these players that I listed previously, they're going to play well for the next couple of years. Be fair to yourself since trade. Just don't think, let's just trade off players at the best value. I think we need to take a step back and really look at time horizons and think about the value, even considering your team state. Also, another recent thing that happened was Karl Anthony Towns' injury with the meniscus injury on his knee, which, horrible for the Wolves. They've had a really nice season after a bit of a disappointment last year. They seem to now be put together, accustomed to each other after the Rudy Gobert trade 2 off-seasons ago. So it's really horrible to see. Thankfully, it looks like it's going to be the trim. He'll be back for the playoffs on perhaps a rush timeline. But in terms of a dynasty outlook, it's not really too much different for me. Yes, players respond differently to this meniscus trim injury. But you know, that can be positive as well. They can end up being fine. It probably will take years and years until we see the true ramifications of this. Really, the biggest concern for me with Towns and his fantasy value has been that he's playing power forward instead of center with Rudy Gobert, which, frankly, just makes sense. He's not really a great rim protector, and his spacing does help more and can suit the 4 spot okay on the floor. However, that has led to less boards, less block opportunities for him, which, I mean, it isn't a bad thing. The Wolves are having a fantastic season. But for fantasy, it means he's more points and threes with some boards rather than points, threes, and a lot of boards, which does matter on the margins. So that's really more my bigger concern. I hope he doesn't rush back from this meniscus injury, though. If we see him come back within 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to be a little concerned if he's pushing himself for this playoff run. We saw that with Robert Williams III a couple years ago when he got that meniscus trim, returned in about 4 to 6 weeks and pushed through the playoffs. And I don't want to credit all his subsequent injuries to that or his performance, but I don't think we can say that helped him coming back so quickly for the playoff run. So that would really be my major concern with Towns' injury here. Let's move into our next topic, and that'll be some players on the upswing. And just a reminder, these are players that I think are maybe either getting a little overlooked, not discussed, and this can be, you know, in the recent week, the recent months, or really for the whole season. So let's get into the first player on the upswing, and that is Duncan Robinson. And he emerged a couple years ago as this wild three-point gunner, hashtag Heat culture, and just aiding into that whole mythos, which is crazy, by the way. We'll actually discuss another player with hashtag Heat culture later. But he emerged as this three-point gunner that came out of the G League, who the Heat wisely identified and scouted and brought up. But he was a one-trick pony from fantasy purposes. He was essentially all threes, and that's where all his positive value lied. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but when all your skill set is focused on that one ability, you better maintain that ability, or you're not going to be as valuable later. And we saw, as the years progressed, that his deep ball efficiency went down. He didn't have the defensive ability to fall back on, didn't have the driving and finishing ability, and didn't have really any offensive tools in his toolbox to rely on. So that not only kept his other fantasy stats down, it was all threes, but it also drove down his minutes as he just wasn't as playable on the court as he used to be. So minutes down, stats down. He looked like he was kind of out of the league, but not really being a rotation player. However, last playoffs, Tyler Herro went down with an injury, and Duncan Robinson was thrust into a rotation role again. And it was funny, as I was watching the Heat games and talking with friends, suddenly Duncan Robinson is throwing, you know, one-handed live dribble alley-oops to the roll man on the pick and roll. And it's like, where did that come from? Here's this player who's been billed as this complete gunner, and that's all he does. One-trick pony. And suddenly he's running the pick and roll, throwing nice bounce passes, one-handed lobs. Where is that coming from? That came out of the blue for me, at least. And kind of got me questioning, okay, is this real? Is there a little bit of skill improvement here? And I wish I kind of keyed in on this sooner and was a bit more bold with him, because it turns out those skill improvements were real. This year, his assist rate, according to Cleaning the Glass, is about 16.2%, which is pretty positive for a wing. That's up from about 9.5% in previous years. And what that means for his assist stats is that his assists are hovering around 3-point year from about 1 the previous years. And that actually gives him another stat set which he's useful in, besides just threes. And yes, three assists, it's not, you know, wowing the world or breaking the internet or anything. But when we're talking deep dynasty leagues where you probably have at least 240, 250 players rostered, hey, sign me up for three assists. That's good. I'll take those. So now we see him being positive in threes and assists, helping round out his fantasy game. And the second skill improvement we've seen from him is that he's not just running this pick and roll and being better at these passes, but he's also has a little bit less percentage of his attempts behind the arc, and he's actually taking more rim attempts. If you were to look up basically a heat map or scatter plot of where his shots attempts are coming from pre the 23-24 season, it's basically all littered behind the arc with a lot of attempts that are above the break, above that paint from deep. But for this season, that heat map is actually just a little bit more yellow and red around the rim on that right side. And, you know, that doesn't look drastic, but that's a major change in his play style, actually. So he is just being more aggressive and driving to the rim. And generally, defenses have to respect not just his three ball. They can't just play him for the deep shot. He will take that advantage and drive by you and drive to the rim. Which, side note, you do not want players getting to the rim when you're on defense. That is a no-no. That's a no-no zone. So he is now seeing more minutes. He's back in the rotation, performing pretty well, having about a top 150-175 season, which is very positive. That's a pretty marked improvement from what we've seen in previous years. So he's a more multifaceted player, both on the court and for fantasy. That's good news for fantasy managers. I think this looks fairly real. It means that if his three-point shot isn't falling, he has a little bit more to fall back on the court, which should keep his minutes up a little bit more. And looks to be a pretty important rotation member for the Heat. The second player I want to discuss who's on the upswing is the most exciting Spurs player, Devin Vassell. Yes, I misled you a little bit there. Obviously, Victor Wembanyama is fantastic, does mind-blowing stuff, game in, game out. Wembanyama's the most exciting Spurs player. Let me make that clear. But I think Devin Vassell is getting a little overlooked for the Wembanyama hype. So it's interesting because it's not necessarily the fantasy stat that has seen the jump for me. His assists are actually kind of similar. He's not really, his efficiency on the pick and roll hasn't improved too much. His turnovers are about the same. His steal rates are about the same. But where I have seen a lot of improvement for him, and what really has me excited when I think about Devin Vassell, is how the shot making is so impressive. If you look at his difficulty of his shots, I mean, the team environment, we know it's not good. The Spurs aren't a good team. They don't have it that their lineups always optimally. They were starting Jeremy Sochan at the point earlier in the year. What are we doing here? This team was a little bit of a mess offensively. So Devin Vassell is taking a lot of ISO shots, a lot of ISO jumpers, off the dribble, pull-ups. Those are not easy shots. And yet his field goal percentage has been well above average a lot of the year. I'm not saying it's, you know, a positive field goal percentage because he's not, you know, a rim lobbing or a rim running lob finisher like some centers. But for his shot diet, it is positive. And that's a very exciting development for me. It's improved more and more over the past couple years. And that's where I am really excited for him. I think he is cinching up. He can be that second, third offensive star, depending on who else the Spurs add in the future years. So he's elevated from, okay, this nice wing player, can he be that second star? Second, third offensive star to, yes, I think he can be. Could we see him have a Chris Middleton-like role when the Spurs finally start building around their team properly and then look to build to a winning roster? I think he definitely can be. And with his extension in the past offseason, clearly the Spurs believe that too. They gave him a pretty massive, I believe it was 5 years, $130 million contract. That shows the level of faith they have in him. So as the Spurs improve, I think Vassell will see that trickle down to him as well. I don't know if I see that playmaking usage come up. It may, as he just gets more on-ball reps and the team becomes better, for lack of a more complex term. But I think Vassell will continue to see that usage and continue to see that points usage. Will the assists come around? I'm not fully sold on that. I'm not fully sold on that playmaking aspect. But I think he can get to a point where he sees enough assists to be useful there. Good steals, and just really efficient, solid points scorer, which is a useful fantasy player. And he's still relatively young, so he should be, you know, a solid mid-tier asset for a while.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof and massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
Now let's get into some players on the downswing. And as a reminder, this isn't necessarily even players that have been trending down. It's more players who I think are maybe a little overhyped, a little too much in the limelight. Maybe not too much in the limelight, but players I think maybe let's pump the brakes a little bit on. So the first player I want to discuss, alluding to this a little earlier, is hashtag Heat Culture player Jaime Hawkins Jr. And don't get me wrong, I think he, a rookie who is contributing, is a valuable player to have on the court. I think for fantasy, though, I think we have to take a step back from the nice story, from this, I believe he was a 17th pick this past year, and say, what is he really strong at? What's his calling card? You know, his rebounding rates are a little, meh, not too impressive. The block and steal rates are there, but not anything that's popping out. I don't think his scoring is all too impressive, honestly. It's kind of this bully ball effort style, which can work, but I don't know how scalable that is. I don't know if you can just, you know, turn that dial up and suddenly say, hey, you're going to work harder and bully harder. It's his drives don't always get somewhere. They kind of stall out, and maybe he takes a tough fadeaway. And so, yes, he's young. He is an older rookie, but he's still young. He can improve. I don't want to rule that out. But I'm not really seeing a style of play that is conducive to, you know, a typical linear growth from a rookie. I do want to credit his ball handling and passing vision. I think it's a little simplistic, not anything crazy, but it's effective and gets the job done. He does have a pretty positive assist rate and assist to turnover rate for a rookie, and I think that is to be lauded. I think that is impressive. Taking a lot of boxes at the wing, such as, you know, decent size, fights hard, makes smart offensive IQ decisions, I think that is very valuable. But I don't know if it's elevating much more past that. So for fantasy, what does that mean? Okay, that means you have a player who should see some rotation minutes, should see solid rotation minutes as he has this year. He's seen about 28 minutes this year. But I'm not sure if we're going to see him really shoot up too much more past this, which seems to contradict earlier about rookies improving, but I'm not seeing anything standing out to me. Again, there's no indicators here. I think something is interesting with him is that he's actually decently average on many different play types, such as running the pick and roll, off-ball plays, off-ball cuts. And I think that goes into the idea that he knows what to do out there. Just maybe, let's take a step back. He knows how to play. He knows how to play the game. And I think that's displayed in those metrics where he's decently average on many play types, isolations, pick and rolls. But again, I'm not seeing anything eye test wise that says, yes, okay, he just needs to do this better, or he can develop this or really hone in on this. This is going to be his calling card. So I want to make a comparison now to a player from a couple years ago who was an older rookie, billed as a ready-to-play rookie, ready to step in. And he had a decently encouraging first season for fantasy, displayed acceptable efficiency for a rookie with some positive steal and rebounding rates early. He kind of tailed off in the following years, partially due to the injuries, partly due to his talent level didn't really increase correspondingly. And you may be trying to think of who this player, the older rookie, should probably give it away, and that is Chris Duarte. Yes, he was a much older rookie. He was about 24, 25 when he entered the league, but he was also described as pro-ready, like Jaime Jaquez Jr. He had a decent first season for fantasy with some, you know, positive metrics, such as that rebounding and steals that I mentioned earlier. But he's fallen off as his talent didn't really increase too much relative to where he started from. And I'm not saying Jaime Jaquez is going to have the same dramatic fall off or will have injuries. I never want to wish injuries on players or want to hope or predict injuries for players. But I think there is a little bit of a parallel here where we can get a little wrapped up into here's a first round rookie who is playing a significant role on a team and looking pretty good in that role. But we need to make sure we're not going overboard with that. So I like Jaime Jaquez as a long-term rotation piece, but I don't really see a huge amount of growth in his game. So in terms of his peak value, I think that's a little lower. And while there is value in consistent rotation player for fantasy, I think it can only go so far. Let's go in the second player I want to discuss in the downswing, and that is Patrick Williams. And as I just noted earlier, this is not a he got injured so I am lower on him argument or stance. I hate injuries. I like seeing players succeed and I like seeing players grow. So this is more what we were seeing pre-injury from him. And we just haven't seen any tangible improvement from him in his 4 years in the league. His assist rates, rebounding rates, steal rates, block rates, shooting efficiency, they're all relatively the same with some, you know, minor peaks, minor gross here and there, but nothing that screams, yes, give this player a larger role, he will succeed with it. And that's what the important part is there. Yes, I think we have seen some skill improvements with him attacking closeouts when he's situated in the corners, but it's more of he's learned to not just record break when he gets the ball and he's open to, oh, he's willing to take one or two dribbles and then make a pass or a shot, which, I mean, that's good. That's positive. It's not really the growth I'd like to see either from my fantasy players. And I think what also is important to note with Williams is that he has his restricted free agency coming up. So, you know, are the Bulls going to believe in him enough to give him that contract extension? We did see with Coby White, who was maybe someone the Bulls weren't fully in on, but they gave him a decent contract and he's playing up to it now. So the Bulls seem willing to, you know, give a chance still to their rookies who haven't necessarily shown a lot. Not that Coby White wasn't showing things before, but he wasn't maybe a locked-in player the Bulls would want to return. And so I think we could see that with Williams. He just returns on a modest contract to the Bulls, especially given this injury situation. And maybe he does break out more, show some skill improvement. But I think at this point, we just haven't seen the growth or improvement from him necessary to buy in on him fully. And so, sadly, I think he's someone who I just have to drop down my rankings a little bit. And I kind of look at him a little similarly as DeAndre Hunter, where, you know, we saw some decent wing body stuff from him. He can kind of, again, someone who ticks a lot of boxes, but doesn't necessarily put up corresponding fantasy value. And I think that's kind of who Patrick Williams will be. Someone who will see decent minutes because he's a good-sized wing, because he can, you know, board a little, shoot a little, not completely sink your team, but not someone who's going to elevate it too much either, both on the court and for fantasy. So lastly, let's get into some teams to watch, or teams that we have been watching. So last week, I mentioned the Pistons and the Jazz as the two teams I was keeping my eye on. So let's go into those teams a little bit and review some of the things that we talked about last week. So first, on the Pistons, let's discuss Cade Cunningham, who we did go into in-depth on last time. And Cade has been better and does look a little more comfortable with the improved spacing. Granted, his last 2 weeks have been fueled by 49% from deep, which, well, I mean, that's positive. That's a good sign. I'd rather players shoot that than not. At the same time, I am never going to project a player to shoot 49% from deep, because that would be one of the best players of all time, just simply. 49% from deep is pretty ludicrous. That is fueling a little bit of the improved efficiency that we've seen lately. Still, he's still looks more comfortable, still driving to the rim nicely, and taking advantage of the increased spacing. Taking guys a little bit more off the dribble as there's less help coming in from the corners, as we've seen some better shooting. So, you know, Cade Cunningham is showing some strides. I don't know if they're large enough strides for me to fully buy in still. I'm probably more down on him than the rest of the Dynasty community, but it's nice to see him show a little bit of growth there. Isaiah Stewart is still starting for the Pistons, which, why? I mean, I would love to see a starting lineup of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Simone Fontecchio, Oser Thompson, and then Jalen Duren. That's actually a pretty decent facsimile of a modern NBA team. Got a little bit of shooting, got some switchability, got some good defense capabilities there. But they're going with Isaiah Stewart, who, yeah, I mean, he's showing a little bit here and there. He's showing some increased steal and block rates these past 2 weeks. Do I think that's going to last, or he's going to be a long-term starter? No, but is he a viable rotation player who can give you good boards? Sure, yeah. That player has some value. And another player I want to discuss with the Pistons, Simone Fontecchio. I just think he's a pretty decent starter. You know, not someone who, if he was starting on a playoff team, I'd like. That's not necessarily the biggest compliment or feather in his cap, but I think he's a decent starter for an NBA team. And I think he's showing his 3-and-D ability, just as a decent size, someone who can put up shots, is willing to put up good movement shooting, and willing to put up those threes and help the spacing of the team. So I'm expecting him probably to be re-signed by the Pistons in the offseason as a restricted free agent, and just someone who can stay there and see some good minutes. So I think he has some decent low-end value in your deeper leagues. You know, if you have 250 plus players rostered, I think he should be rostered for sure. Lastly, two players, young players, Quentin Grimes and Marcus Sasser, kind of have had mixed results recently. Part of that's been due to their injuries, and they've been in and out of the lineup. Part of that is they're just not seeing the minutes, which, have they earned the minutes? Not necessarily. Would I still like to see what they could do in opportunities and see them grow? Yes, but Monty Williams just seems destined to have these weird rotations forever and for weird reasons. Even had a quote, which, you know, he had a quote saying where the team was looking at, you know, if we don't turn the ball over as much, how is that going to affect our defense? Which there are so many studies out already. It's kind of, you know, I could Google search that in 5 minutes and find an answer. So, you know, that's cool hearing that from a head coach. Monty Williams hate aside, I hope we could see some more out of Quentin Grimes and Marcus Sasser. I don't think we've really seen enough yet to come to conclusion either way. The second on my teams to watch list was the Utah Jazz, who have been interesting of late. We've seen Lauri Markkanen, Walker Kessler, Irving Keontae George all been dealing with injuries, illnesses, bangs up. Dare I say, injury manage? Yeah, the Jazz look like they're tanking a little bit and are joining that silly season list of teams, putting out these crazy lineups. Luka Šamanić is back, playing minutes, which, cool. Don't really care too much about that, honestly. But let's discuss what we have seen from them. So, Keontae George, he had some impressive shot-making games. I believe he had 9 triples a couple games ago, which, wow, 9 triples, that's a lot. He was shooting lights out that game. And we've seen some decent passing flashes as well. So I think we're seeing a player who, he's inconsistent, he's a rookie, but is willing to put up shots, is showing a lot of confidence, exuding and oozing confidence and swagger, basically. And someone who can put up maybe points, threes, and assists as he develops. And he's still definitely shot happy, a decent amount of turnovers, but there's a bones of a good starting point guard here. It's all about ironing out the kinks going forward and him just developing and growing. So definitely someone I would be interested in investing in a dynasty format. Taylor Hendricks, you can add him to the list of players who are dealing with some injuries. He's out now for a couple weeks, but I think we saw some really strong performances from him. I am a sucker for solid rebounding whenever I play like pickup basketball, I'm always that guy banging in for boards, boxing out, putting that energy in there. And I love what I've seen from Taylor Hendricks on that end. He's really attacking the glass and attacking those rebounds. He has what I call excitable weak side defense, kind of eager for blocks, jumping for joy, jumping for those highlight reel blocks more than a nice steady rim protection, which is good for fantasy, not necessarily good for real life defense. But I think we did see some interesting defensive flashes against Jimmy Butler when the Jazz played the Heat a couple games ago. Yes, he got foul baited into some couple fouls. That's going to be expected when you play against Jimmy Butler, kind of that early jumping that I was describing earlier. We saw Hendricks jumping up and then Butler would go into him, get the foul. But he was staying well with him laterally, which I think is really impressive for a player of his size. And that gets into Taylor Hendricks' whole fantasy package, where he can have this length, lateral mobility to both play defense well, get some weak rimside blocks, and shoot some threes as well. So I think we were seeing that package come together. Very encouraged by his core skill set. Let's touch on Bryce Sensabaugh with the Jazz, who last week, I kind of scolded his defense last week, and it's been a little bit better as he's seen more minutes. He has shown a little bit more focus, still some giving up some backdoor cuts, some off-ball mishaps, but I kind of expect that with rookies. So he's growing into the game a little bit more and earning a more consistent role, partially because of these injuries. He stepped up into a starting spot against the Chicago Bulls after Taylor Hendricks was ruled out. And Bryce Sensabaugh had some impressive plays. He had a really impressive drive with his right hand, using his strength to power hard to the basket, got an easy layup, which brings us to that self-creation scoring that was so exciting about him pre-draft. Sometimes he struggled to create some space, which was my personal knock against him pre-draft as well, where I didn't really love that he wasn't able to create space at the college level, and wasn't sure how he would hold up in that regard against NBA athletes in length. And he got in a little bit of trouble against the Bulls, but he also hit some tough shots, some tough fadeaways, and some tough contested looks, which was also his calling card. His tough shot making, including some threes as well. So seeing him be that three-level scorer both at the rim, in the mid-range, and behind the arc is encouraging. So I'm hoping we can see some more of that going forward, and he gets some increased on-ball opportunities as the Jazz are fully in the silly season. So that being said about Bryce Sensabaugh, I'm not sure what else he's going to bring. He did have over double-digit rebounds in one of the games. I still don't think he's a great rebounder, but if you're playing forward, there will be opportunity for boards. So he could be a decent points, threes, some boards, some efficiency player. I don't think we're going to see some passing flashes. But if you see that scoring develop further, he can be a really interesting player. And I may owe a bit of an apology to John Collins, who I have been pretty negative on the past year as just not a credible starter. But he's basically been playing center this entire year in lieu of Walker Kessler, to the chagrin of many Walker Kessler managers, such as myself, who is, why are you starting Collins over him? Kessler's clearly better. I still hold the opinion that Kessler is a better center than John Collins, but John Collins has kind of been fine at center. You know, he's boarded well, and I think his skill set, as he's lost a little bit of athleticism, lost a little bit of his outside shooting, does suit the center position more. I don't think he's a great rim protector, but as a role man, he can do a little bit more than just roll and shoot. He can pass out a little bit. So there's a little bit more dynamism at that center spot than Walker Kessler as a role man. And, you know, he's putting up some good numbers at center, putting up some decent blocks, some decent boards, and just good all-around center stats. So maybe I should show a little bit more faith in him long-term. I still don't know if he'll be a starter long-term. I don't really think that, but it's a little more in the cards than I thought it would be at the beginning of the season. So a little bit of positive news on John Collins there. And that will do it for this podcast. So hopefully we see some good games in the upcoming weeks. Hopefully injuries aren't hitting your teams too hard in your dynasty teams. As most of our dynasty leagues are in the playoffs now, hopefully you can manage to push through those injuries and get to where you want to go. Until next time, I'll see you.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.